Time to continue our conversation about birds on the Tuesday morning show. We are happy to welcome back Pam Perry from the Brainerd area, retired non-game wildlife biologist with the DNR. Pam, thank you for being here today.
Hey, Pam, nice to see you.
Good morning. I had to unmute.
The word of the year or years,
it is.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Pam, I don't know if you were listening earlier or not, but I was talking about on this date, things that had happened on this date, and I was looking through my list, and on this date, January 26th in 2014, you and Ken sent me a note about seeing a long-tailed duck. Do you recall that moment?
Well, John, I did hear you earlier. And so I went back and looked at my records. I thought, uh-oh, I need to refresh this a little bit. And I have four records for Minnesota, none on this date exactly. Okay. Now, we may have told you about it on this date.
That could be.
Yeah. In 2014, I saw one on February 2nd.
Ah, okay.
And this was in Benton County, below the Sartell Dam. And there were a whole lot of ducks there because it was open water, mm-hmm, you know, which in early February, when you have open water, you can get waterfowl. But the one that popped into my mind first when you said long-tailed duck was one that I remembered from Cass County. And it was found on the Pillager Christmas Bird Count. That was 2007, and it was found by somebody else, and Ken and I went to go look at it the next day. Now, the thing about long-tailed ducks is that this is an Arctic duck, and they spend the summer in these Arctic pools up in the tundra, but then they sort of, some of them kind of move around with duck flocks, and they'll show up here and there. And they're very spectacular looking in breeding plumage, and they're very plain in winter plumage.
Ah.
And for example, the one that was found near Pillager on the Christmas Bird Count, the couple who found it had never seen one, but they didn't know what they found. It was so non-distinct. They said, it's just different. It just looks different. But it was kind of just white and little blotches of brown and gray and diving, and they're going, what is this? And that, you know, which is what happens if you haven't seen birds like this before.
I think we were talking with Brandon Lentz earlier today about birding, and he's new to birding.
Yes.
And birding is like that. I mean, you see things and you think you've gotten some background in birds, but you see things and you just go, that's just not right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just familiar.
It looks different. And you have to just spend a lot of time looking at the common stuff. And then when there's something different, it stands out. And I did hear Brandon talking. I love the question about, do you think more people are birding because of the pandemic? And he goes, yeah, I just started. I just thought that was great.
You never know what's going to entice somebody into birding, but boy,
once you fall in,
watch out.
His comment then was, it's a great way to get outdoors.
Yes.
It's something, you have a destination or a route or something, and you're out looking and wondering and seeking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, there are so many birds I want to talk about, but let's just start off with what's at your feeder.
Oh, it's really slow. It's really slow. I heard Brandon say he's seeing finches regularly down in the cities.
Yeah.
And then you said, not so much. I have none.
Oh,
no finches. No, oh. There were reports of evening grosbeaks earlier and some crossbills, but they never stuck around. And I could never catch up with them, and they haven't come in here. I don't even have goldfinches. I had redpolls earlier a little bit, and they're gone. So I don't know what's going on. I'm calling it the winter for Brainerd anyways of no finches.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the things that we talked about, and I know you're very familiar with this, and you brought it up too, and that is that this time of year, open water is just a magnet for all sorts of birds, not only the water birds, not only the waterfowl, but other birds who come to drink or just to fish or whatever it is. So, yes. And Brainerd typically has open water on the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So have you been down there? What are you
of
seeing
course.
There?
Oh, yeah, I go by. I mean, any excuse to go down to the river.
Yes, yes, yes.
I have to pick up some groceries. Oh, I'll go down to the river.
Yeah, you know? Right. I know the route. Let's see. We turn left here and we go down this hill. And
oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, birders don't do a straight from A to B. They take the scenic route always. No, there's nothing down there right now. And I, even though there's open water, some open water, I expect it's frozen in other places, upstream and downstream. But it's still an area I check all the time. Sometimes eagles will hang out there, but they're usually looking for a meal. Yeah. And right now there's just no ducks. There's no geese. It's really, really quiet.
Scott Hall was saying earlier, he sent me a text this last week and said that there were golden eyes, Canada geese, and trumpeter swans on the Mississippi below the powerhouse in Grand Rapids. Mm. There are some, and I have seen trumpeter swans, but it's the time of year when there isn't a lot of activity.
There isn't a lot of activity. Now, the one place with open water where there have been birds is the Gull Dam, below the Gull Dam, above the Gull Dam, there's a flowage from Gull Lake and then below, but that stays open. I was up there over a week ago and there were trumpeter swans. I think I got 40. I counted 40. And one duck, and it was a hooded merganser. So that was it.
Wow.
But there was activity. I mean, you see blue jays and crows. Like you said, other birds are attracted to that water as well.
Yeah.
That aren't water birds.
So have you seen any rough-legged hawks? You're kind of near the area where they are.
No. I've been checking. I have a route I like to check where I've seen the open country, where I've seen them before. Good areas for rough legs. And it's been really, nothing. I've been looking for snowy owls. It's been, no.
Do you think the mild weather that we're having, the mild winter that we're having, has just kept them further north? Or?
I actually think a lot of them went further south.
Oh.
I think that early snow and cold weather we got, lot of them went further south rather than hanging in this central Minnesota area. I don't know for sure, but that's my guess. I mean, I'm still seeing a lot of eagles.
Yep.
I see those almost every day. And I've been looking for ravens because they've been nesting on my property for the last few years.
Ah.
But have yours started making noise or?
You know, I saw a pair sitting on a branch, both of them, temperatures mid-20s, both of them fully fluffed out. I mean, feathers erect as though they were more than trying to stay warm. And I suspected that was something to do with courtship because I know this is kind of the time of year when they start doing that sort of stuff. Well,
yeah, they start early. And I remember back years ago when I would listen to you talking about ravens up on your property or near your property.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I thought, wow, that's so cool. We don't see them very often down here. Well, about 10 years ago, we started seeing ravens. And then about 5 years ago, they started nesting right in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I never realized how noisy they were.
Not when they're on the nest, though.
No, they get quiet then.
Right.
But then they're kind of noisy a little before and then a whole lot afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
And when you have young ravens and adults, you hear them every day. I would drive down my driveway and there would be three young ravens perched in the pine tree and they'd look at me, you know, they make all this noise. And
yeah, they're very sociable and they notice what's happening in their property. The ones that I have here are much more tolerant of me than other ravens that I encounter. Mm-hmm. They'll sit on my driveway until I get really close and then they'll fly up in a tree, you know, and wait for me to go by and then they're back on the driveway again. And overall ravens, well, they're my favorite bird, but
they're super smart.
Their behavior is so intriguing. Mm-hmm. I will hear them calling and I'll look and look and there'll just be a speck up in the sky. And then they'll make a dive, you know, and they'll come down just streaking toward the ground and they'll pull up and they'll roll over. And yeah. I've been laying under my car out in the yard and have one fly over and do a barrel roll right over my head. You know, it's
they're incredibly acrobatic.
Yes.
With those long wings, and they can go upside down. They can do these barrel rolls you know what? And like you said, yours are very tolerant of you. The ones around here that nest, they fly pretty much right over me and like they're checking me out. Oh yeah, it's you.
Yeah.
And they know me because I'm out every day.
Yeah. Oh, it's her. Okay. You're cool. We got you.
Yeah.
I get the same thing. I'm outside shoveling snow or something and one of them will fly by oh yeah. Okay. It's you.
Right.
Just checking.
Right. What I find interesting also, though, about ravens is that they're moving their range further south.
I'm intrigued to hear that. You know, and at the same time, typically, I mean, 25 years ago, I would have not expected to see crows here during the winter. And yet this past week, I'm driving along and this crow gets up and flies off of the road into the trees. And not a quarter mile down the road, a raven gets up and does the same thing. And it's just obvious. I mean, they're just so different. They're so much bigger.
They're so much bigger. They fly different. Those longer wings.
Yep.
And they soar. Whereas crows are always flapping or pretty much always flapping unless they're coming into a perch.
Right.
To me, they look very different. Very, very different. But they are moving south, and I've spoken with people in Morrison County, Sherburne County, you know, south of me, south of Crow Wing, and they're going, we're seeing more ravens. Why is this? And I go, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, let's hope it's just they're ultimately being very successful.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're just able to, their ranges, their success is high and they're able to expand. This is typically the time of year when they begin to do these kind of courtship displays and sort of single themselves out to have mates. And so they're kind of cool that way. But I hope to get to talk about owls, but we'll have to save that for another time.
Well, can I mention one thing?
Sure.
Brandon had mentioned seeing a screech owl.
Yes. You know,
down in the cities.
Yep.
And I've lived in central Minnesota over 30 years. I have seen one screech owl in Crow Wing County.
Wow.
We are very much on the edge of the range here. I've seen one in Mille Lacs County. But you get down towards St. Cloud, and you start getting screech owls.
Oh.
You know, we have the saw-whets up here. You can see and hear lots of saw-whets.
Yeah, they should be calling pretty soon. Well, Pam,
very soon.
Always a treasure. Always lovely to chat with you. Let's do this again real soon.
Yep, it was fun. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Yep, bye-bye.
If you want to tell us about the birds you're seeing, we would love to hear from you. You can email jlatimer@kexe.org or better yet, sign up for our Season Watch page on Facebook. It is a great way to find out more about the birds that you might be seeing and get connected to other folks who are out there in nature, getting through this pandemic by feeling connected to where we live.